true. You're very welcome to our service this morning here at City Moor Baptist Church. If you're here for the 1,000th time, well done, congratulations. And if you're here for the first time, you are very welcome to be with us and all of those in between as well. We want to worship the Lord this morning and praise him, particularly as our Father, as we think about children, physical children. Why don't my kids get it? But also, we are heavenly children already, and that's the thread that is going through our worship this morning. So as we come to God, let's come to him in prayer, let's talk to him and be with him this morning. Father God, we say it again, Father and Lord, everything that means to us. And as we come to you this morning, we want to come to you as your children and as your friend and as your angels in heaven. Lord, we're already there. Father, we pray that you will bless us this morning. We pray that you will pour out your spirit on everything that takes place here this morning, and that we would be a blessing and a child who worships you as we come to you today. Lord, if there are things in our hearts that we need to set aside, we pray that you would work that in us. Lord, we pray for your forgiveness for our sins. Lord, we pray for your massive presence in the things that cause us to be anxious. Lord, we want you to have all of those things. And Lord, anything that would prevent us from praising you this morning, we give it over to you now. Amen. Now, I have had this psalm whirling around in my head all the time, Psalm 8. And we do sing a song that is more exactly these words, but it just keeps ringing in my ears at the moment. So, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. From the lips of children and infants you have ordained praise because of your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him? The son of man that you care for him? You made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. What is man that you are mindful of him? We are sort of specks in the universe. They keep putting pictures on, of space where we are the tiny, tiny grain of sand in the distance. Even the whole earth is tiny compared to the vastness of space that God has created. So we're going to stand and sing almost those words. Who am I that the highest King would welcome me? So let's stand if you're able and sing together.
Thank you.
Amen. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. And the verses that keep running through my head, talking of running, are the verses of the story of the prodigal son, and that Father God comes out and opens wide his arms, and we run back to him. And we're all prodigals. We can't judge the people outside because they're just prodigals who haven't turned round yet. So we are the prodigal son coming back to God. I love you, Lord. Your mercy never fails me. pray of the goodness of God. Let's offer prayers to God and praise him, who is the King and yet is the Father who runs after us. Let's pray now. Amen. Amen. Father, we do thank you for your mercy and your unending grace. And Lord, when we are your children and we don't listen to you, why don't my kids listen to me? Father, we thank you that you come with your forgiveness and your understanding and your compassion, and you bring us back to yourself. Lord, you never leave us. You are the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. You never ever give up on us. And we keep coming back to that phrase, what is man that you are mindful of him? Father, we want to sing our next song, Our God Saves. And you are our Heavenly Father.
In the name of the Son, in the name of
let you sit down after that. That's it's a good one, but it's a test. Just one or two things to do at this point in the service. Please do read everything that's in your little booklet. The back page got very, very full with all the things that were going on, especially as this week is our early prayer week. And so that goes on Tuesday to Friday in this coming week. And then I think we have a break for December, don't we? Yeah, we just have a break for December. And next Saturday afternoon, the Methodist Church want to use our baptistry. So that's it's really encouraging that people are wanting to be baptised as adults rather than christened as children. And so we're going to open it up after this evening's service and let them use it next Saturday. And then we're going to use it a week later and have a baptism here as well. That'll be Bradley. But if there is anyone else who's waiting on baptism or who thinks they want to know more about baptism, do speak to one of the deacons or to Nathan after the service. If you haven't had adult baptism, then please do join in there. The more the merrier, always the more the merrier when it comes to a baptism service. So that would be really good. And now I have quite a fine display in front of me here. We won't have room for this much when we've got the baptistry open, but are there any children who have had a birthday in the past few days or in the next few days? Silence reigned and we all got wet. Oh dear. Oh, do come forward. Come forward. That's it. That's it. Come with Mum. Hello. Bless you. You've got an eye on something already. Oh, yeah. Hang on a minute, hang on. What's your name? Grace. And how old are you going to be, Grace? 5. And has it been this past few days? Thursday this week. 9th of November. Oh, okay. Well, we'll sing happy birthday to you, Grace. Great name. We will sing that this morning, and we wish you it for Thursday as well. So let's sing together. Happy birthday. And I think Ian and Julie are celebrating, Ian and Julie Stride are celebrating birthdays this week and maybe an anniversary as well. So they're not with us today, but they are both celebrating in the next few days as well. So that's good to hear. Let's pray for the children. And they're going to go out to their groups. And we're grateful for all their leaders and everyone who's been planning during the week as it takes up some of their time. So let's pray for them all. Father God, we know you are God of all ages, and Lord, you love us from our birth to the grave. And Father, we thank you for the abundance of children that you continue to bless this church with. Lord, we thank you for them as they join with us in the first bit of this service, and then Lord, we pray for them earnestly that they would be learning from you in the next bit of the service. Father, we thank you for the leaders who change the Bible stories into something understandable for every age group. Lord, it's such a skill, and we thank you for them. And Father, we thank you for those who answer the awkward questions that maybe the youth would ask. Why this, why that, and what's going on? And Lord, we pray that you will be in all of those groups. Lord, we ask your blessing on them now, and we pray that they would still feel a part of this service as they learn around and about the church. Thank you for them, Father. Amen. As the children leave us, we're going to stand. It makes it a bit easier for them to get out the row as well. And we're going to sing The Splendor of the King. Take our seats again and we'll come to God in prayer for the things that are going on around us and within the church too. Lord God, we do acknowledge that you have everything in your hand. But Father, it's hard sometimes to see that. Lord, we do pray for all of the situations that continue to rage around the world. Lord, we know it's man. We know that it's not you, it's not your wish that we should kill one another. And Father, the fall and the sin after that, Lord, we continually try and hold things over people. And Lord, people are just dying in the midst of it. And Lord, we know that you wouldn't make the city of Nineveh perish for the people who lived there who were innocents. And Lord, we know that you would not want any more of your children across the world to perish. So Lord, we do plead with you. Lord, we ask that you would bring peace into those situations. Lord, that there'd be some massive intervention that is not of man, but Father, it would be from you. Father, we do pray for those who are trying to serve you and to minister in those really difficult places. Lord, we pray for priests and ministers and people of God who are trying to carry on their services and worship you. And Lord, we know that whatever the time lapse, you can figure that out. Father, we pray for those who are meeting on a Sunday and want to praise you and worship you with the sound of bombs going off around them. And Father, we ask that you would forgive us for the things that we do that put people off from coming into church. Lord, we want to know you deeper in our hearts and to mirror you much better. Father, forgive us when we don't show you to your full advantage. Lord, I pray that you would use each and every one here to be a blessing to those who don't yet know you. Whatever that is during the week, Father, we ask that you would help us to be your ministering angels. Lord, we can all be witnesses, we can all testify to your grace and your mercy, and we can all reach out and help someone. So we do pray that you would make us into bold soldiers for Christ, that we would reach out and meet the needs of people who don't yet know you. And Father, we do pray, we continue to pray for our children and for our youth work that carries on. Lord, we pray for all the applications that have come in, and Lord, we ask that you would help the team to choose the right person for that job. And Lord, we pray about all the different things that are happening in the church fellowship. Father, we pray for the things that take place during the week. Lord, we ask that you would nudge us and remind us and help us not to switch the alarm clock off this week, but we would come and pray together with you. And Father, we ask for all the other things that are taking place. Lord, we pray that you would be a blessing on all of the churches along this high street, that there would be a river of your spirit flowing through the town. Father, we pray for the fellowships who are meeting right now. And Lord, we thank you for them. Lord, we thank you for the different church leaders. And Lord, we pray that you would be a blessing on all of them. So Father, be with us, we pray, as we think about what our children get wrong. But Lord, we know that we are your children and we get it wrong too. So Father, as we come to you to hear from your word, we pray that you would open our minds and our hearts and make us willing to act upon what we hear. Amen. This next song really, really goes with the sermon, and it's one that we haven't sung for a little while, and it's got four pages, which is always a bit of a warning sign when you're leading worship. But we've skipped a page or two, but we want to sing it together. And just before Nathan comes to speak to us, "You're a good, good father, and I am loved by you. That's who I am. That's who I am." So let's stand and sing this together. "I've heard a thousand stories."
Whisper of love in the dead of Father, we thank you so, so much that you are a good, good Father. And you look after us in such a special and a unique way. Thank you that you know us all individually. You know even the number of hairs that are on our heads. You know us from the crown of our heads, even to the soles of our very feet. And we thank you this morning that we are loved by you. And Lord, as we acknowledge that we don't always, Lord, in response, offer goodness back to you. Sometimes we sin, we make mistakes, and we don't always, Lord, follow your path or your will. But we thank you that even in those moments, you still shine your grace, your mercy, your compassion, your love to us. And we just say thank you. Thank you that the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases, and his mercies, they never come to an end. For they are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Lord, we've come now to hear from you. Would you speak to our hearts? Lord, we need a word from you. We've heard from BBC News this week and Sky News and ITV News and all the various news outlets and social media. But Father, we need to hear a word from you. So would you anoint me afresh as your servant as I stand to proclaim your word. Lord, and would you give us all receptive hearts this morning to receive what you have in store for us. And when it's all said and done, we'll be careful to give your name all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Please do take your seats. Thank you, Bev, and the worship team for leading us in worship this morning. And good to see you all. Good morning. We are, can you believe, we are at the penultimate stage. This is the penultimate sermon series of the year. Can you believe that? This is the penultimate sermon series of the year. We only have two more sermon series to go for the rest of 2023. And we are looking this morning at family issues. We're starting a new series on family issues. And then we're going to be looking at an Advent series in the lead up for Christmas. So today, as you've been, as you can see in your sermon notes and as you've heard from Bev, we're looking at this question today. Why don't my kids get it? Why don't my kids get it? And I want to call your attention to firstly, I want to call you to 1 Samuel chapter 2, and then we're going to skip over to chapter 8. So starting first at chapter 2, from verse 12, it reads, Eli's sons were scoundrels. It's a positive start, isn't it? They had no regard for the Lord. Now, it was the practice of the priests that whenever any of the people offered a sacrifice, the priest's servants would come with a three-pronged fork in his hand while the meat was being boiled, and would plunge the fork into the pan or kettle or cauldron or pot. Whatever the fork brought up, the priest would take for himself. This is how they treated all the Israelites who came to Shiloh. But even before the fat was burned, the priest's servant would come and say to the person who was sacrificing, "Give the priest some meat to roast. He won't accept boiled meat from you, but only raw." If the person said to him, "Let the fat be burned first, and then take whatever you want." In other words, what they're saying is, let God be glorified first. Let him receive the sacrifice first, and then the priest can take what they want. But the sons of Eli, they said, "No, hand it over now. If you don't, I'll take it by force." Verse 17, "This sin of the young men was very great in the Lord's sight, for they were treating the Lord's offering with contempt." I want to skip now over to verse number 22 of chapter 2, and we see a little bit more about Eli's sons, Hophni and Phinehas. And it says, "Now Eli, who was very old, heard about everything his sons were doing to all Israel, and how they slept with the women who served at the entrance to the tent of meeting. So he said to them, "Sons, why do you do such things? I hear from all the people about these wicked deeds of yours. No, my sons, the report I hear spreading among the Lord's people, it's not good. If one person sins against another, God may mediate for the offender. But if anyone sins against the Lord, who will intercede for them?" His sons, however, did not listen to their father's rebuke, for it was the Lord's will to put them to death. Now, briefly, I want to skip over to chapter 8 as we look at the second father today. We've looked at Eli and his sons, and now we're going to take a look at Samuel and his sons. And in chapter 8 from verse 1 it says, "When Samuel grew old, he appointed his sons as Israel's leaders. The name of his firstborn was Joel, and the name of his second was Abijah, and they served at Beersheba. But his sons did not follow his ways. They turned aside after dishonest gain and accepted bribes and perverted justice." Amen. It's interesting, we see here, church, two fathers, Eli and Samuel. Both had sons. Both Eli and Samuel were priests and they were judges in Israel. But both of them as fathers would unfortunately raise sons who would not follow in the ways of the Lord. And I'm sure that they were asking the question, and the same question we're asking today, why don't my kids get it? I'm sure there are some parents around the house today who have asked that very same question. And even if you are not a parent, perhaps you've asked that question concerning younger generations around you. Why don't the kids seem to get it? Why don't my kids get it? Church, it's amazing. When I felt the Lord leading me in the direction of putting this series together on family issues, at first I was hesitant, I have to admit, especially with this topic before us this morning, because as a preacher of the gospel, on the best of days, we feel insignificant. We feel unqualified for the task. But in the area of parenting, I certainly felt out of my depth concerning this one. Because I have no day-to-day experience of raising children like many of you here today. But then 3 weeks ago, very early on a Saturday morning, my wife woke me up and greeted me with the news, "Nathan, I'm pregnant. Nathan, I'm pregnant." And just like that, my perspective on life completely changed. Overnight, church, I became a nuisance to Anna. "Don't carry that. Don't do that. Sit down. I'll cook today." Now, for some reason, unbeknownst to me, Anna has yet to take up that last option of me cooking. And I wonder why. But all jokes aside, by the grace of God and all being well, next summer, just like Eli and just like Samuel and just like many of you here today, I will become a father. Anna and I will become parents. And being a parent, of course, is one of the greatest joys one could imagine. But at the same time, just like Eli and Samuel, being a parent can be extremely challenging and also very demanding. As Jerry Sinfield puts it, he says, "Having children is kind of like having a blender, but you don't have a top for the blender." Because a blender without a top is poised to make a mess. And without question, church, raising children in this world, and especially today, it can be extremely messy. And I'm not just talking about changing nappies that I'm going to have to get used to doing. But the responsibility for caring for a young life, a young human life, for sure can never be taken lightly. And the question before us this morning, church, I believe, is a question that perhaps all parents have pondered in the heart from time to time. Why don't my kids get it? You've looked at young people in the church, perhaps, and you've wondered in your heart, why don't they seem to get it? Now, as parents, you may have asked the question for a variety of different reasons throughout their lives. But specifically this morning, I want to deal with the subject of why do young people who were exposed at a young age to Jesus, they were exposed to his teachings. Why do young people who were raised in Sunday school, they were taught how to pray at home. They were raised with Bible study stories. They went to sleep. They were blessed and they were dedicated as a baby in the local church. But for some reason or the other, church, as they matured and as they became an adult, they made the decision and they said these words, "This is not for me. This is not for me. I don't want to serve the Lord. I don't want to go to church. I'm not interested in worship. I'm not interested in going to church. The church has no relevance to my life anymore." And church, when this occurs, it can be extremely difficult for Christian parents. It can be demotivating for pastors and church leaders. When young people have been raised in the church, raised in Christian homes, yet they decide in their adult lives to say, "This is not for me." And perhaps we ask that question, why don't my kids get it? Well, of course, there may be a host of different reasons as to why they decide not to follow in the ways of the Lord. But allow me this morning, through the Word of God, to offer just a few possible reasons why. And the first point that I want to leave with you this morning is, number one, the problem could be the methods and not the message. Can we say that together? The problem could not be the methods. Could be the methods and not the message. Problem could be our methods and not the message. Now, there's a story of a teenager who was having some issues with recreational drugs. And his parents were trying their best to keep a watchful eye on their son. But on one occasion, his father was suspicious that his son was still using and taking recreational drugs. So in a state of frustration and anger, he grabbed his son by the hands and by his shoulder. And he said to his son, "I knew it. You lied to me. You lied to your mum." And as he was reprimanding his son, the phone rang. And his wife answered the phone and signaled to her husband that it's for you. There's someone on the line for you. There's someone that wants to speak with you. And the father responds, "Can't you see that I'm busy? I'll tell them I'm not in the house. I'll get back to them." And his son, looking right back at his father, said these words, "Dad, now you know where I learned how to lie. Now you know where I learned how to lie." And church, in a real sense, just like that father in the story, it's not necessarily a case of bad parenting why young people grow up and they stray away from the Lord. It's not always a case of bad parenting. But could it be that our methods of teaching, our methods of delivering the message of Christ, the message of God's word to our young people and to the next generation, could it be that our methods are not always compatible and conducive for young people today? And such was the case for the two fathers right before us today in 1 Samuel chapter 2 and chapter 8. Here we are introduced to two priests who had dedicated themselves to serving the Lord and to serving God's people in Israel. Two priests and two judges in Israel that were held in high esteem by the people of God. These men would speak on behalf of God to the people, and they understood the tenets of the law according to Moses. They were well versed with all of the Jewish customs of their day. Yet still, for both of these men, for both of these fathers, they would excel in their public ministries, but they were flawed in the area of their ministries at home as a parent. Because both Eli and Samuel, they desired for their sons to emulate their path, to walk in their footsteps, to serve the Lord just like dads, that they would walk with integrity. However, for both sets of sons, they would grow up to dishonor the Lord. They would grow up to bring shame upon their father's ministries. In fact, Eli's sons, Hophni and Phinehas, they were described in the Bible as being, according to the King James Version, as being sons of Belial, which literally means they were worthless, lawless, or rebellious. What a sad state for his sons to be named. Worthless, lawless, and rebellious. And in fact, if you dig a little bit deeper into that word Belial, the Apostle Paul in the New Testament, he uses that very same term to reference Satan himself, the devil. And Samuel's sons in chapter 8, they are described as being dishonest, and they also perverted justice. And the question that I want to raise, and perhaps many of the Israelites of that day must have been asking, is how can sons of the priest, how can sons of the spiritual leaders in Israel turn out to be so rebellious and show such a blatant disregard for the Lord and his people? And perhaps there are parents across this house today who are asking that same question. We prayed with our children. We taught them how to pray. We read them Bible stories. We were diligent in always taking them to church on a regular basis. Yet why do they seem no longer interested in serving the Lord? What went wrong? And friends, we know as Christians that the problem is not the message. The problem is not the word of God itself. Because the gospel is described by Isaiah the prophet as being good news. It is good news to share with our young people about Christ and his word. But could it be that our methods in raising the next generation needs work and attention? You see, young people today, they are not just inspired based upon what we say to them by our way of teaching, but they are more inspired by our actions, how we live our lives. They take notes at home, how we talk, how we converse. It's all right to say we bring them to church and we believe in a God of love, but if they hear us gossiping at home and tearing down one another, then perhaps they are watching and they are listening and they are saying, it just doesn't add up. What they are saying from their mouths about the Christian faith does not match up to their actions. Because young people and young generations today, they need parents, they need youth leaders, they need pastors, they need a congregation who will not just talk the talk, but will also walk the walk. In church, although we don't have much data in the scriptures about the specific parental styles of both Eli and Samuel here, but could it be that for the sons of Eli and the sons of Samuel, could it be that they watch their fathers dedicate all their time to looking after Israel's problems, that they failed to take notice of their sons' problems? Could it be that whenever Hophni and Phinehas had their parents' evening meetings, that dad was always absent because he was busy tending to the needs of the people of God? Could it be that when the boys of Samuel, Joel, and Abijah, when they wanted to attend the after-school clubs in Jerusalem, that their father said, no, you need to focus all your attention on being the next priest in Israel? And friends, the reality for all children who are raised in a Christian home is sometimes it's not always necessarily the case of bad parenting why children grow up and stray away from the Lord. But could it be that our methods of delivering God's word, delivering his love, his truth, that those methods need attention? Could it be that perhaps we are replicating the methods of a previous generation? For example, in my parents' generation, when they were young and growing up in church, they were raised in a time where they weren't accustomed to asking many questions to their elders because it was the feel of that generation that they did not want to seem disrespectful to the elders if they were to ask too many questions. They didn't want to come across as rude and disrespectful. And even if they didn't agree with what they were being taught, they would just nod and agree. However, for young people today, it just don't work like that. Young people want to know why. They're not afraid to ask the question, why this? Why that? Can you tell me more about this? Why is this in the Bible? Why is it like this? Why do you do that? Young people want to know why. They're not afraid to ask those hard and difficult questions. And it's not enough for us to just say, well, you'll understand it when you grow up. You'll understand it better when you get older. But we've got to be ready and prepared to deal with those tough questions, to be open and to be honest. And if we don't know the answer, be honest with them and say, I don't know. Let's figure it out together. Let's research it together. Young people want real and authentic leadership and mentors in their lives who will not just tell them that God loves them, but they will see a real and tangible demonstration from us that God loves them. They want to see how the Bible is relevant to their everyday lives. And we have to ensure that we are modeling Christ to them each and every day. You see, finally on this section, every morning when we wake up in the morning and we take a look in the mirror, we should not be surprised by what we see in the mirror. Not unless a drastic change has happened overnight. But when young people look at us, church, when they look at us, those of us who profess to have a relationship with Jesus, the question is, what do they see? What do they see? Do they see the Christ in us? Or do they see a reflection of something else? The challenge for the church today, friends, is not our ability to preach and to share the message, but could it be that the challenge is for our methods of delivery? So my first challenge to you today is we have to ensure that our methods of teaching and sharing the great news of Jesus and his word, we have to make sure that our methods align with the message, that our methods complement the message, and that our methods don't become a stumbling block to our children. But second and finally this morning, not only should we take care in terms of our methods of delivery, but finally this morning, for parents, youth leaders, and the congregation as a whole, we must continue to do our best, and then we leave the rest to God. Do the best you can and leave the rest to God. Now, please understand that we could have the best methods you could ever dream of. I mean, we could have the best children's ministry, the best youth programs, out of the world facilities for our young people, and you name it. But at the end of the day, young people will grow up and they are going to have to make a decision for themselves whether they want to serve the Lord or not. It's just like the story of the new worship leader who was getting ready to lead their first service at the local church. And the man was so excited to lead his first service that he prepared with such diligence and attention to detail. He had everything down to the T. And during the intercessory prayer section, the gentleman shared with the congregation, he shared these words: "Please remember in prayer the many who are sick of our church and community. Remember those in prayer, those who are sick of our church and community." And it's amazing, just by making a mistake with one word can completely change the meaning of what he was trying to convey. And so it is with raising the next generation of Christians. It's only by the grace of God that we seek to do the best we can whilst recognizing ourselves that we are just human and we will make mistakes along the way. And just like Eli and Samuel, we're not always going to get it right. There is no perfect parent. There is no perfect youth leader or role model. Parenting is far too complex to be perfect at it 24/7. There will be mistakes. There will be times when we think, oh, I wish I didn't say that. I wish I could have handled that differently. But church, we have to remember the job of parents and those who work with our children and young people. The task is to train them up in the way that he or she should go. But when they are old, it is our prayer that they will not depart from it. The responsibility is with them. We can do the best we can, but it's up to them to respond to what they have been taught. So I want to encourage someone here today that you may be feeling, well, I just feel so down that my adult children are no longer serving the Lord. I've been praying for a long time. I want to see them come to church. I want to see them come back to the Lord. I want to encourage you, don't beat yourself up too much. Do the best you can and leave the rest to God. Because we have to be prayerful and watchful and trust God that those nuggets of truth have been instilled in their hearts, that even if they stray away from him, that whatever they are doing, wherever they may go, that those nuggets of truth that are instilled in their hearts will one day, they will come back to the surface. That it would, the Spirit would bring it back to their remembrance. And they would remember those Sunday school lessons. They would remember the prayers that Mum prayed in the middle of the night. They will remember the counsel and the advice that Dad shared when they were going through a difficult time in their lives. When they grow old, they will not depart from it. We can introduce them to Jesus. But the responsibility is not with the parents when they grow up, when it comes to departing or staying with the message. The next generation have to make the decision for themselves whether they are going to stay on the right path, stay on the path that Mum instilled in them, stay on the path that Dad instilled in them, or are they going to look to another path? That is a decision that only they can make. And in closing, sometimes just like Eli and just like Samuel, our children may make decisions that you don't agree with. They may let you down. But here is the good news. We've been singing all day long that we have a great and heavenly Father who loves us unconditionally. And just like the prodigal father, who when his son decided to leave home, take his inheritance and waste it on riotous living, to turn away from everything that the father had instilled in him, and to go on a different journey. But the lesson that the father teaches us is that in those moments, it's not for us to turn and be frustrated, but our job in that moment is just to wait with open arms. Our job is just to love them, to let them know that we care, to let them know that we're always there on the other side of the phone. We're always there waiting with open outstretched arms to let them know that God loves them. And we love them too. And whenever they are ready, they are welcome to come home. They are welcome to come back to the Father who wants to love them, who wants to welcome them back into his arms. I want to pray for us today. And we're going to watch a short video clip as we close about the prodigal father and the son. But I want to pray especially for parents here today, that perhaps this is really hit home for you today, that you have adult children or young people who are struggling to get it. You're doing your best and it seems like they're not interested and you're worried and you're concerned about them, the decisions that they're making. Analyze the methods, but secondly, remember, we do the best we can and we leave the rest to God. Their lives are in his hands. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, first and foremost, we want to acknowledge that we ourselves, we don't always make the right decisions. Even as parents, even as church leaders, even as a congregation, there are times when we don't always get it. But we thank you that the same grace, the same mercy that the Father has bestowed upon us, that we in turn would extend that same mercy and grace to our children and to our young people. We pray for them, Lord, for children and young people, adult children of our congregants here today that perhaps are no longer serving you. Perhaps they were raised in Sunday school. They heard about all the great Bible stories, but now they are living a different life. They've turned down a different path. I pray for them today that, Lord, that they would awaken to you, that they, Lord, would open their hearts to your Spirit, that they would turn back to you and run into your arms of safety. Father, we pray for grandchildren. We pray for aunties and uncles, Lord, who are providing mentorship. We pray, Lord, for a congregation here today as a whole, that we would do the best we can to provide the right message and also the right methods to our young people, that when they grow up, grow old, they will not depart from the truth. We pray especially for all the parents here today. Would you encourage them, Lord, when they feel low, when they feel concerned, when they feel as if they're not doing all that they could do, Lord, would you let them know that you care, that you are the great Father, you are a good, good Father. So we thank you and we love you now, and would you equip us as parents and as a church that we, Lord, can be the best that we can be to resemble Christ and to point our young people in your direction. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Please turn your attention to the screens as we watch this short video.
It's me. Man, I know it's been a long time since we talked. I was kind of hoping you'd answer, but I understand that you probably don't want to talk to me. I've just gone so far, and the things I've done, I just regret it, you know? And I know how bad I've hurt you and let you down, but Dad, I miss you. I miss how we drive around and just talk about life. And I just want to come home. But I know you've probably written me off. I can't blame you, actually. Here's the thing. It's kind of a shot in the dark, but I'm coming through town soon, and I'd really just like to see you. I know I can't just show up at the front door like I used to, but if you want to see me, just hang a small sheet out on the porch. And if the sheet isn't there when I drive by, I'll keep going, and I'll try not to bother you anymore. I love you, Dad.
Thank you.
I think I probably need to give everyone a minute after that, don't I? There's a song by a group that is not necessarily a Christian group called Elbow. And they've written a song called Open Arms. And it says, "We've got open arms for broken hearts like yours. Come home again." Our final Christian song, the third verse, is, "Father like, he tends and spares as well our feeble frame he knows." If you can, let's stand and sing, "Praise my soul, the King of Heaven." We'll get there. We'll be all right when we get going. A lot about mercy and about grace, and it would be great if we could say the grace together. But do stay behind if you want any prayer, go to the prayer corner or just ask someone, speak to someone who you know and who you want to sit and pray with. So let's say the grace to one another. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. The team have gone out there, so do stay and have a cup of tea or coffee. Let's go with goodness of God. Goodness of God.